Now to get back to the story of the posse comitatus, the identity movement, and the common denominators going all the way from Southeast Asia and learning guerrilla warfare in the Philippines and then bringing it back to the United States, and that is what we're getting here. Now, Reverend William Potter Gale, according to the New York Times, became the ministry of Christ, became the minister of Christ, and got this donation from somebody in Los Angeles, gave him a lot of money, and worked closely with the Posse Comitatus, formed in 1969 and up in Oregon. And the original person who founded Posse Comitatus was in the 1930s, before America was in the war, in the late 30s, a member of the Nazi Silver Shirts. He was the one who had the idea of protest groups against the United States government. How powerful that is to destroy our institutions here and have us fighting each other so that the plans for Adolf Hitler to take over this country would happen. He said, forget America for the time being, take South America and pass up all the Jews and the liberals, and we'll get them eventually. If we have South America, we'll be home free. We can take America. So that the Nazi Silver Shirts were working in Oregon, formed the original Posse Comitatus that James Wickstrom took over, and then Mr. Gale comes home from Southeast Asia, where he's learned with Colonel Charles Willoughby, whose name is Carl Weidenbach, a German, and don't forget that. Gale comes from that environment where he works with Weidenbach. I mentioned that article last week, Heidelberg to Madrid, and this is Heidelberg to the United States. So Reverend Gale is a minister teaching counterinsurgency seminars, according to the New York Times. They're around the country, mostly in the West, and mostly in the Midwest. I'd like to know what mostly means, you know, where else they are. Now, they described a three-day training session in Wescan, Kansas, monitored by the Kansas Attorney General of the United States. They're not under any questioning for sabotage. You can imagine if a leftist were doing this. They're not indicted for anything. They can train poisoning, cyanide, stuffing cyanide capsules, ambushing for murder. The purpose of those ambushes is to catch people off guard, so naturally there's not going to be any witnesses. They recently had a three-day planning session in Kansas, 56 participants, killers in hand-to-hand combat, how to administer poisons, night combat patrol, and murder by ambush. And as I say, James Lewis is from Kansas, the fellow that has been charged and was off on one murder of killing an elder gentleman, a friend of his daughter's, who is a suspect that has not been arrested in the Tylenol, which I believe is too big to really nail him on. Roger Arnold was using those kinds of poisons. Dr. Marcus Foster was murdered in Oakland, the school. He's in charge of the school education system by a cyanide bullet shot by Joseph Romero, home from Southeast Asia war. And Mr. Kurt Saxon told about how they train with these cyanide bullets. Now, the seminars, the counterinsurgency seminars, are both in Wisconsin and in other places, as I say, in Colorado. And I mark the areas, the training, Springfield, Colorado is one place, and I mark the map on Kansas of the various cities to see where they're learning to do the weapons and the poisons and the training because of the location of the Tylenol suspects and John Hinckley and other persons involved in this. The New York Times said that James Wickstrom of Posse Comitatus and Reverend Gale, William Potter Gale, make joint appearances. And remember, a few weeks ago, about a month ago, I mentioned a radio station in Kansas City that was talking about killing blacks and Jews, violently anti-Semitic. They refer to blacks as evil beasts, and they want guerrilla warfare to fight the Jews. And they said that if anybody stopped them or took them off the air, they would kill the rabbis in Los Angeles. And I mentioned my father's a rabbi in Los Angeles. And they specifically said, we'll kill the rabbis in Los Angeles. Well, those people who said that, that were doing those radio programs, are part of the Wickstrom Reverend Gale group that did train in the Philippines with Willoughby, the very person that I've been trying to expose week after week. The Posse wear camouflage military fatigues, battle. They have stockpiles of food and military operations. Now, David Emery up north, before I could even get to books on Gale, and he was linked in the New York Times to Douglas MacArthur and is learning his guerrilla work which was under Willoughby, who was chief of intelligence under MacArthur. David Emery called me right away and said, get out your book, Power on the Right, by William Turner. That was published in 1971. William has been a long investigator of the Kennedy assassination. In that book, To Whet Your Appetite, if you don't have it, you can get the library or buy a used one. The table of contents is the state of the right in this country, the John Birch Society that I've been talking about with Larry McDonald and Roy Cohn and John Reese, Louise Reese, in the Los Angeles Police Department, Orange County, California, that's Ronald Reagan and Knott's Berry Farm, the Ku Klux Klan, the Minutemen, the paramilitary right, which is the Nazis. Each of these is a chapter. Onward Christian Soldiers, that's Carl McIntyre and his group, the Liberty Lobby, and Patrick Frawley. Ed Butler worked for Patrick Frawley and made records with Lee Harvey Oswald in military intelligence, that I'm a Marxist, the American Security Council, and the police. Now, everything that Bill Turner wrote about in 1971, every chapter comes together now with the Birch Society and their computers in the 50 police departments. In this book, he mentions that not until the assassination of John Kennedy on November 22nd, 1963, did the political gravity of this nation shift to the right. That was 20 years ago this November. That was a coup d'etat, and that is when the shift took place. And he mentions right-wing people that were behind Lyndon Johnson. He was their protege, like George and Herman Brown of Brown and Root, Clint Murchison and H.L. Hunt. Hunt funded the Birch Society and linked with Warren Carroll of the CIA and the Young Americans for Freedom. George de Morenchild, Lee Harvey Oswald, and Marina Oswald's contacts was an employee of the Defense Department and Brown and Root. And then Penn Jones wrote his books on the murder of important witnesses and told how J. Edgar Hoover was at the home of Clint Murchison the night before John Kennedy was murdered, when the FBI and the top people agreed they go ahead with the kill the next day. He talks about how the right process was hastened with the assassinations in 1968 of Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert Kennedy Jr., both passionately despised by the far right. That goes into Robert Byron Watson's experiences in Atlanta, Georgia, at the art gallery, and Mr. Youngblood and the agents involved in those murders. In this book, he talks about the John Birch Society, God, Family, and Country rally at the 4th of July in Boston, and Billy James Hargis of the Christian Crusade, and he mentions certain people from Liberty Lobby and so forth. But he has the quotations in this book that I've referred to. From American Opinion, there was a professor, Ravillo P. Oliver, and he was from the University of Illinois, and won Boston at the time of 4th of July celebrations in 1966. He got up and the head of the Birch Society got up and praised Oliver. He just turned over his mantle to Larry McDonald, but at the time he praised Mr. Oliver as being the finest person, a great intellectual, one of the great intellectuals of our time. This was a John Birch Society annual meeting on the 4th of July. And Oliver wrote for the Birch Society. And at the speech, he referred to blacks as mangy cannibals in Africa. And then he talked in 1966 at the Conference on Family and Country rally by saying the vaporizing of Jews was a beatific vision. And Mr. Welch, Mr. Robert Welch, turned over the mantle with his records and the police records of Robert Morris and the Birch Society and the House on American Activities and the Senate investigating committees that Joe McCarthy had, all to computers. The LAPD I mentioned specifically because of the Olympics and the terror that could come down there that I refer to often. The importance of Mr. Welch giving this material and these kinds of people, data banks on Americans. Well, Bill Turner talks about this group of right-wing people, but in the section on the paramilitary right, he tells about his interviews with various members of the Minutemen, a Dennis Maurer, M-O-W-E-R. He said, Maurer is a minister of the Church of Jesus Christ Christian, Christ-Christian, whose reigning dignitary is the Reverend Wesley A. Swift, W-E-S-L-E-Y, A. Swift, of Lancaster, California. 3 decades ago, Swift was part of the Gerald L. K. Smith Christian Nationalist Crusade and a rifle team instructor for the Ku Klux Klan. They have a group in Florida they call the Eastern Conference. The church has a group, and they ran the campaign for Admiral John Cromelin, C-R-O-M-M-E-L-I-N, of Alabama, who was against the Jewish communist conspiracy at the time. The SWIFT complex includes the Christian Defense League, the CTL, which are white Christians run by a group including Mr. Conrad Connie Lynch of the Minutemen, and the Church of Jesus Christ Christian also connects to Mr. Gale. And on page 102, they bring up the name of Mr. Gale. It said, one of the driving forces of the Christian Defense League, this group, in its early days was Lieutenant Colonel William P. Gale, Lieutenant Colonel, he's also the Reverend now, who had trained guerrilla bands in the Philippines during World War II. In the late 1950s, he formed a paramilitary California Rangers. Now, Douglas MacArthur was fired by Harry Truman because of his radicalism and his want to use atomic bombs in Asia. And along with him, when he left in 1951, Willoughby left the team, and Gale left the team. And Gale comes to California. Willoughby goes to Madrid, Spain, to work with Franco and set up American bases in Franco. And Mr. Gale begins in the 50s, in the late 50s, setting up a California Rangers, which the California Attorney General's office said was designed as a secret underground guerrilla force. Now, they've been underground since the 50s, but it's 1983, and they're very visible now with their training and their tanks and their computers. In 1963, a wealthy Los Angeles benefactor put money in the Christian Defense League, and Gale then tried his hand at improving his fortune, so he became a minister of Mr. Swift's. And you see some of these television ministers who worked with J. Peter Grace and military intelligence and have as unlimited money. Well, here's one man who came right out of the Philippines with Willoughby and Douglas MacArthur, who has a rich benefactor. Now, in that time period, from 50 to 60s, the Martin Bormann money, the Nazi money, was being distributed out of Madrid, and Colonel Willoughby is in Madrid. As soon as he's fired and leaves the army, he quits with Douglas MacArthur. He then goes on to Madrid and is active with Franco and the government, setting up the bases there. So who knows what kind of money made this particular colonel at this point, Lieutenant Colonel Gale, a minister. He's still doing that shtick as a minister, training armies to kill and running radio stations on vaporizing and murdering in this country. This story says the Christian Defense League had a security system and files that extend to every state of the Union. Now, those are those files, again, in the hands of the police department of John Reese, Louise Reese, Larry McDonald, the Birch Society, the Minutemen, the American Nazi Party. Those files were in the hands of Gale, and he came right out of Willoughby's counterintelligence. Willoughby coming from Frankfurt, Spain, from Germany, and working with Franco. In 1936, he was teaching an army military college in the United States, praising Franco. It says that he had lists for the Christian Defense League, and they reported on their organizations. And their sister organization on the West Coast was the National States Rights Party with George Lincoln Rockwell. Again, linked to Robert Morris and Lee Harvey Oswald and so forth. Oswald was a right winger. The Christian Defense League was run by a man named G. Clinton Wheat. Now, he was one of the people that worked with Gale, who had come from the Philippines. He worked with Clinton Wheat. One of those who attended their meetings was Lauren Eugene Hall, an anti-Castro adventurer who used an alias at the meetings. He was mentioned in the Warren Commission report in connection with information supplied by Sylvia Odio. Sylvia Odio worked with Lauren Hall and Mr. Seymour, who was Lee Harvey Oswald's double, and used the name Leopoldo, was introduced to Sylvia Odio and Leon Oswald, and they were talking about having a sure shot to kill John Kennedy prior to the assassination. Mrs. Odio was called before the Warren Commission, but those men were never checked out. And all of these men worked with, not only with Sylvia Odio, but with the Marines, with the anti-Castro Cubans, with the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, this goes back. These men, keep in mind, worked with Edwin Wilson, Theodore Shackley, and Frank Sturgis and Bernard Barker, the whole gang that was caught at Watergate and then surfaced later with Corcula and Turple. That was Edwin Wilson, one of the paymasters of the Bay of Pigs. This book by Bill Turner says the FBI investigated the intriguing aspect of the Warren Commission report that said on September the 16th, 1964, the FBI located Lauren Eugene Hall in Johnsdale, California, Johnsondale, Johnsondale in California. Hall was identified as a participant in anti-Castro activities. He told the FBI that in September of 1963, he was in Dallas soliciting help of the anti-Castro Cubans. He had visited Sylvia Odio. He was accompanied by Lawrence Howard and William Seymour from Arizona, and that Seymour is similar to appearance to Lee Harvey Oswald. Now, it was always that Seymour that I believed was working with the anti-Castro Cubans in New Orleans when they said Oswald had a gruffy appearance and beard and sat with people from the far right. The other Oswald was clean-shaven and appeared at the Riley Coffee Company, which was also a franchise of Mullen Associates in Washington, D.C., run by E. Howard Hunt and Douglas Caddy, the Young Americans for Freedom. Caught at the time of Watergate, it was out of those offices of Mullen Associates that they had their finger in the till down at Riley Coffee. But Oswald didn't have two appearances in New Orleans, clean shape and beard. And this Lee Harvey Oswald double was roving around with the anti-Castro Cubans who worked with the Christian Defense League and with Gale and with the counterintelligence operations in California. Now, Bill Turner wrote, he says that not only were they working with Mr. Wheat and with the church group, this was Seymour and Howard and Lauren Hall, but they confirmed they worked with Edgar Eugene Bradley and Dr. Stanley Drennan, D-R-E-N-N-A-N. The West Coast representative, Dr. Carl McIntyre, Bradley was indicted by a New Orleans grand jury in December 1968. That's when Jim Garrison wanted to get the grand jury to ask him where he was in his role in the murder of John Kennedy. He was a suspect in the murder to kill John Kennedy, but the case was never brought to trial because Governor Ronald Reagan refused to approve extradition. Now, Ronald Reagan has been put in by Willoughby, by Gale, by the Christian Defense League, by all of these organizations, and again, the structure for them, the money, came from the Falange money from Madrid to the Philippines, from the Philippines to California, and California, Willoughby is part of Young Americans for Freedom in 1960 with Ronald Reagan and Robert Morris and the people that were to bring over agents from Munich, Germany for the hit on John Kennedy. Now, they mention another person in this book, Bill Turner does. Along with these people was Captain Robert Kenneth Brown, who of the School Brigade in Fort Benning, Georgia. Mr. Russell of the Warren Commission, Senator Russell, was from Georgia. Robert Byron Watson talks about the Larry McDonald team, the syndicate from Georgia behind these murders. Robert Kenneth Brown from the School Brigade in Fort Benning, Georgia, was part of the Cuban matter and admitted in spring of 1963 that he worked with the anti-Castro people and with the National States Right Party in Los Angeles, California. Now, Mr. Brown, if you've never seen his picture, I have it. It's in the book, The Silencers, Snipers, and Assassins. His picture is in that book. He's co-author. It's called An Overview of Whispering Death. In May of 1977, you know how many years ago that was? In 1977, broadcast 267, I was referring to the book Silencers, the CIA, and how the House Select Committee or the other investigators on the murder of John Kennedy or Robert Kennedy or Martin Luther King never, ever, ever have addressed themselves to silencers. Now, the man who wrote the book, the man who worked with William Donovan of OSS and the CIA, who worked with the anti-Castro Cubans, who worked with the organizations that are linked directly to the Kennedy murder, his expertise is the silencers. Now, there were silencers in Dealey Plaza. You don't have to look at the book depository for that fatal headshot on John Kennedy. There was a silencer out in front of the Lorraine Motel. Martin Luther King was shot from the street with a heavy gun, and James Earl Ray was not in the rooming house. There was a silencer in the Ambassador Hotel. Thane Caesar is seen holding a gun 1 inch from the head of Robert Kennedy, where the autopsy says the burn mark was. He falls to the ground. The shots are in back. Now, this book on Whispering Death tells about William Donovan in the White House with Franklin Roosevelt. And while Roosevelt looks down, he's shooting 10 shots into a bag on the floor of sand. And the president doesn't know it, and he shows them the gun. So if you can sit with the president of the United States and shoot a gun with silencer and he doesn't know it, you can certainly pull it in a mob scene in front of the Lorraine Motel or the Ambassador Hotel. Incidentally, the book on silencers has chapter 3 that might whet your appetite. Silencers and World War II, the OSS, the Resistance, the Gestapo, and Otto Skorzeny. So Mr. Brown, who is the co-author of that book and runs a printing establishment for weapons and so forth in Colorado, you may know it. It's the Paladin Press, and I can give you the address. You can write to me in case you don't have those books. I have their brochures and books. This Mr. Brown from Georgia is linked to Mr. Bradley, to the groups that killed John Kennedy. And Bill Turner says, Brown was no newcomer to paramilitary circles. He joined the Troy Houghton maneuvers in the Mexican border, H-O-U-G-H-T-O-N. He was an insider in the Miami colony of Cuban exiles. And it was the same group, as I say, with Edwin Wilson, Theodore Shackley, Frank Turpel, George Corcula, and Richard Nixon was in charge of the Bay of Pigs operation also. Brown runs a publication in Boulder, Colorado, on guerrilla warfare. Now, in comes Gale, whose name is in the New York Times this week, trained in guerrilla warfare with Colonel Charles Willoughby. Gale becomes a reverend, runs a church, and runs a bookstore in Colorado with these silencers and ways to kill. Bill Turner has in his book how Lauren Hall had worked and lived in Havana and left there, and in 1967, Life was investigating the John Kennedy assassination. And Mr. Brown, the man, the expert on silencers, when silencers were murdered, and George Corcula, incidentally, worked with Mitchell Werbel and the same silencers that Mr. Brown used. They were manufactured by Mitchell Werbel, also in Georgia, in DeKalb County, where Larry McDonald comes from. It said Life magazine was looking into the murder of John Kennedy, and Brown worked with Life reporters on the involvement of anti-Castro Cubans. So here is a guy whose expertise is the Gestapo, Otto Skorzeny, the OSS, silencers, helping Life magazine with an issue on the anti-Castro Cubans when he himself worked for them. And Bill Turner says in his book On the Right Wing, he says plans for sniping John Kennedy were common talk among the paramilitary long before 1963. One plan was formulated in 1960 while Kennedy was still campaigning. Now, how many times over again am I illustrating to you that when Robert Mayhew set up the assassination teams with John Roselli and Sam Giancana in 1960, Kennedy was always the target. And I sincerely believe that any candidate who won against Richard Nixon would have been off. Richard Nixon in the 50s brought in the Iron Guard. In the 40s, he brought in the Nazis from Project Paperclip. He worked with the organized crime syndicate with Murray Chotiner and the drug traffic people. He was the perfect Nazi drug narcotic agent. And he was handpicked for the House of Representatives. Then he was in the Senate and prosecuted Alger Hiss and made himself famous playing around with that evidence, was the vice president under Eisenhower. And no way, after all that, were they going to lose their man. And they had planned Kennedy's death. They gave him a choice to invade Cuba. When he pulled back, then the anti-Castro Cubans were right there with him. And in conclusion, in this book On the Right Wing that Bill Turner wrote, it tells again about the Christian Defense League. Gale is here in the 1950s. He's in Northern California in 1965, working with this group, and District Attorney Jim Garrison wanted these people as material witnesses. A deep split had developed between Wesley Smith and Colonel Gale. After running for governor of the Constitution Party in 1966, Gale was part of the clique with Edgar Eugene Bradley and melded in with Dennis Maurer and the Minutemen and so forth. So that Gale was a part of that team from the 50s when Willoughby left Southeast Asia with the guerrilla trading. He came to California and set up these national organizations and worked with William Seymour and Sylvia Odey and Lawrence Hall and people that the House Select Committee once again covered up. And they worked with Mr. Brown, Major Robert K. Brown, and there are pictures of him with his submachine gun with psionic silencers. The whole book is on silencers. On Mr. Robert K. Brown, editor and publisher of Paladin Press, holding another one of his silencers, the story of his working in the OSS, with various people who developed the silencers, who were, they were made by Chrysler Corporation and General Motors. Wouldn't you know that they were one of the first group in with the silencers? Well, as I said before, John Hinckley Jr. covered bases of these particular people in his paths with the Nazi Party and with the Posse Comitatus. Now, in January of 1981, there was an interview with me about me in the San Francisco Chronicle. And in that article, it was about one-third of a page. It was a picture of me and my allegations that the Nazis were behind these various assassinations, the Minutemen, the Nazis, and the Klan. And shortly after that was when that car was in front of my house. And I took the license plate and called as soon as March happened and Ronald Reagan was shot. I called the FBI and Secret Service and said I had told my son there's a Nazi in front of our house. I took the driver's license, the name. They didn't believe me. And then it turned out later that he had links with the Posse Comitatus in this state, with the Nazi Party in the state. And finally, your federal agents came to my home because the car license that I had was a person who was a member of an organization that John Hinckley was associated with. And the organization was the Posse Comitatus. So that was just a couple of years ago, 1981. The years go so fast. And at John Hinckley's trial, they tried to say that he was a loner and he was crazy. But I had written down all the various cities and places where he knew people and made calls. And one of the points of the article in the New York Times was that the identity group, the Nazis, the Klan, the Post, they all protect each other. If you're on the lam, if you need a place today to stay, they protect each other. Well, John Hinckley made six calls from Tennessee when he was there. He was in Washington and took pictures of the White House. He was at New Haven, Connecticut, at Yale two different times. He made phone calls from his hotel room in Washington, D.C. He was at the International Airport in Los Angeles from Denver. And I have a list, and there's no time, 1 minute left, of all the various places where he was seen making calls from phone booths, making calls from the hotel rooms, receiving messages. That had to be the Posse Comitatus. It had to be the identity movement. The goals were the same. They hated Ronald Reagan, and more of that will come out later. So there is a connection, once again, to the guerrilla work, the Philippines, and going right back to Dallas, the same people. And they're in the news today because they are well-armed now, and they're in 50 states. I always told you should try and find out who killed John Kennedy, and you'd know what's going on in the world. Well, our hour's up now. You've got a lot of information for 1 hour. I'll be back with you next week. This is Mae Brussel on KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California.